Hey y'all, we're going to continue on with John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So remember, in this farewell discourse in John, Jesus has made it clear that the disciples are, in a sense, taking Jesus' place. Just as Jesus spoke the words of the Father, now the disciples will speak the words of Jesus. Just as Jesus was on the Father's mission, the disciples will be on Jesus' mission. And just as Jesus has access to the Father, Jesus now gives the disciples access to the Father. It's an amazing privilege, it's an amazing calling, it is an amazing life. And he finally says, or he says in this next section, and guys, you will be just as popular as me. Now, if you're paying attention in the Gospel of John, that's an interesting kind of popularity. Because in the Gospel, Jesus gets a lot of attention, but in the end, not what we would call acceptance by many. Depending on which gospel account you look at, he ends with something like 120. And he had a very large following at several points. And so Jesus is preparing the disciples for an inevitable clash, or that moment when the difference between the world and the disciples is clear, and the world says, we don't want to have anything to do with you. So it's encouraging, because Jesus faced the same kind of opposition. And Jesus is trying to prepare them ahead of time for this. So remember, the world, John says a couple things about the world. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But it also says, the world hates me, and the world is opposed to me. We might put it this way. The world is a system of values, and those values are not the same as God's values. In fact, they're opposed to God's values. God loves the world enough to try to deliver individuals from the values of the world. Or he loves the world enough to get it to change its values. And so in this discourse, we're introduced to this theme of this tension and this conflict. Jesus said he didn't come to bring division, but his presence exposes whether people really want to follow God and really do what God teaches them to do. That's what Jesus did in his day. That's what the Holy Spirit does through his people in this day. And Jesus is essentially saying, the more you come to understand my Father and his ways and what is important to him, the more repellent you will be to those who don't want my Father's ways, who don't like the way he does things or want him to be in charge of their lives. Another way to put this is we might say that not many will believe. Again, after all, look at Jesus. I would say there's been no more favorable audience in the history of the gospel than the audience that Jesus was preaching to. These were people who had experienced God's dealings for centuries. They had God's word, and not many responded to Jesus. Again, 120 by the end of his ministry. But it's encouraging to know that if Jesus didn't have that big of a crowd, if we don't necessarily have that big of a crowd, we shouldn't be that disappointed or surprised. When it comes down to it, there's lots of crowds who are interested, but when it comes down to those who decide, I want to adopt an entirely different system of values than the world around me, Jesus says, not many will do that. He also adds a little bit to what he says about the Holy Spirit. He said a lot about the Holy Spirit in all of this. We've called him the other helper, the other encourager, the other person who does what Jesus did, but in a different way by his presence in us. He has said, the Father will send him, or the Father will send him in my name. He has said that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. That the Holy Spirit will teach us by reminding us of everything that Jesus said. And remember, in 1 John, it says we need that no man teach us because we have an advocate or we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. It says that here the Holy Spirit will lend credence or validity or authority to Jesus' identity in others. He will bear witness about who Jesus is. And we are called to bear witness with the Holy Spirit. Or maybe we should think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness to who Jesus Christ is. And our job is to bear witness in cooperation with the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we might say the Holy Spirit is obsessed with Jesus, or all he wants to do is draw attention to Jesus. And as we live our Christian lives, that should be our obsession, to draw attention to Jesus and not ourselves. So I might end just with this caveat. I think as Christians, we have to be sure that the reason we are rejected, if we are rejected, is not because of our obnoxiousness or our behavior that is unlike Christ's. Jesus guarantees that those who adopt his values will be resisted and opposed and disliked. But I think it's important that we examine ourselves with the Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make sure that the reason people dislike us isn't just because of us. And there's a great confidence, I think, that can come from knowing, well, actually, people are resisting God. If you'll remember the prophet Samuel, when Israel wanted a king, it appears that Samuel felt a personal rejection or a personal sense that they were resisting him. And God said, no, they're not resisting you, Samuel. They're resisting me and my rule over them. So may we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, lead lives that are increasingly taking on the character of Christ, so that if those who want Christ are around, they will be attracted. And let's not be surprised if when that happens, many people are repelled by the presence of Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen.